As we turn to God's Word this evening, I'd like you to turn to two places. The one is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And then once you have a finger in there, once you keep that place or a bookmark, once you turn to Psalm 15. This week, we were having our devotions. Those of us who are office staff in the church, we come together at 8 a.m. each day and we read from the scriptures and then pray for the church, in particular people in need or in crisis within the church, but just to pray for the church family. And this week, Charles read from Psalm 15, I think it was on Tuesday morning. He also shared from it this morning as we came around the Lord's table. But as I was reflecting this week, it serves very well, not so much as the text for this evening, but as a useful introduction. And so I'd like us to start by reading Psalm 15, but just to ask this question in verse 1, reading from God's Word in Psalm 15, David writes and says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? To put that in our modern day language, who will be in heaven one day? Who will live with Jesus for all eternity? And then as we continue in God's Word, he answers his question. And I'd like you, as we read through these few verses, to evaluate your own life. David is saying, who shall dwell on your holy hill? And then he answers it, reading from verse 2 in God's Word. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eye a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Tall order. And really, in answering David's question, he's saying, only those who are holy will enter heaven and live with him for all eternity. Only those who are holy. And so if you just turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, we read from God's Word again, pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And often today when we mention the word holy or holiness, people say that's an old-fashioned word, obsolete, out of use, antiquated. You know, is that important to us today? You know, we talk about having a relationship with Jesus and we use contemporary words. But irrespective of how out of use this word may be, it is and always be, will be, of critical importance to the Lord Jesus. And he's saying, if you're not holy, you will not see me. And we're to pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I think we often have a low view of holiness. I will get to a definition and what holiness is later. Jonathan Edwards, a pastor and theologian of several hundred years ago, wrote and said, almost every natural man that hears of hell flatters himself that he will escape it. You know, we hear about hell, and most people that you come into contact with, they say, I'm a good person. You know, I'm pretty good. And tonight, part of what I want to differentiate between is what goodness is, what absolute goodness is, and what holiness is. That which the Lord has called us to. I remember I went through a tough stage in my health and emotionally for a long period. Many of you know about this. And one of the key things the Lord taught me is that what he requires of us in this life is not so much performance and achievements, but holiness. The scriptures tell us that if our lives are not characterized by holiness, we can expect hell. And if holiness is this important to the Lord, then we better listen carefully and sit up to his word. J.C. Ryle has written a lovely book called Holiness, probably one of his best books. And he said, suppose for a moment that you were allowed to enter heaven without holiness. Suppose you went to heaven and you were not holy. And he asked the question, what would you do? What possible enjoyment could you feel there? With which of the past believers would you make friends? Who would you sit with? Their pleasures are not your pleasures. Their tastes are not your tastes. Their character not your character. How could you possibly be happy in heaven if you have not been holy on earth? Charles Spurgeon also thinking on this concept that if we're not holy here, we will not be holy in heaven because we won't be in heaven. And he says, no man can have communion with God in this life and no man can have enjoyment with God in the life to come without holiness. God struck an angel down from heaven because of sin. Will he let man in with sin in his right hand? God will sooner extinguish heaven than allow sin to spoil it. And so there's this theme. What has God called you to? 1 Peter 1 verse 15 really summarizes what God has called us to. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's what we've been called to. The main reason for us seeking to be holy is that the Lord himself is holy. If we were to be in heaven and not to be holy, we would be like a fish out of water. I think back to grade 2. If you went to heaven and you were not holy, you would be like I was in grade 2. I arrived at school thinking it was civvies day in my civvies clothes, and it wasn't. I stood out like a sore thumb. Everyone else was wearing the uniforms. I was dressed in my casual clothes. And I cried as a little grade 2. Those one day who are not holy will do more than cry. Who are not holy will do more than cry because they won't fit in heaven. And so the writer to the Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Our lives depend on it. Our future depends on it. Our destiny depends on it. And so what does it mean to be holy? There's an already and a not yet component to this. There's two aspects to holiness which God has called us to. And the first is that we are declared holy at conversion. The starting point for any holiness in your life is that you need to surrender to Christ. That is the one side of it. It's to be awakened in your soul of your sinfulness, that you need a Savior, to surrender to him and come to him as a holy God and say, Lord God, you are holy. You are entirely different, entirely pure, and I am not. I'm not good enough. And Lord, would you save me? And those of us who have surrendered, who can look back to a time where we surrendered to Christ, we are already holy. We have been declared to be. As a judge declares someone to be not guilty, God has declared us, said, you are not guilty. Even in our state of being unholy. But then we enter the second component, which is really what I want to focus on this evening, is then the Holy Spirit says, God has now declared you to be holy. Now you are to pursue holiness and become that which you have already been called to be. You've already been declared to be that. Now you're going to become that with God's help. An analogy that I thought of is possibly a child going down to the ocean for a holiday. And the dad says, we're going to the sea for a holiday. And as they drive down the N3 and they get to the coast and they turn down, heading down the south coast from Durban, the child sees the sea and says, Dad, are we there yet? I can see the sea. We must be there. And he says, no, we're at the sea, but we're not actually where we need to be. We're not at the sea, really. We will get to the sea. There's still a journey we have to go along. And so when we come to Christ, we are declared to be holy, but there's still some way to go before we're really at the sea. Before we are really holy. And that's one day when we're with Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. As you look at the version of the Bible that you have there. Translators have struggled with this. And different translators have come up with different words to try and say, what are we to do? How are we to become holy? And those of you who have an NIV. The translator said, make every effort to be holy. Translating from the original Greek which we inherited from the apostles. Make every effort to be holy. As if you have a King James Version, follow the holiness without which you will not see the Lord. In the English Standard Version, it's strive. And the New Revised Standard Version says pursue holiness. And so there's this sense that we're to be like an athlete. But it's more than an athlete. If you could picture a gladiator, imagine a gladiator training for an event. There's a certain incentive as a gladiator to train for an event. Because if they do not win it, they die. Their whole life depends on this event. And our whole lives as believers, trusting that we are believers, that we have surrendered to Christ, depends on us becoming holy. What does being holy mean for you and for me? At the office, perhaps at the factory, perhaps at home, at school, at university, while we're gardening or perhaps working, making food. What does holiness mean day to day? And there are two things that I want to highlight. And if you remember only two things from this evening, let it be these two things. What does holiness mean for you and me? It means firstly to be obedient to Jesus, and secondly to be devoted to Jesus. To be obedient to Jesus, and secondly, devoted to Jesus. No one can pursue holiness who is not prepared to obey God in every area of their lives. Obedience is the pathway to holiness. It's the pathway to finding God's will for your life. We're to be obedient not as someone who serves out of fear and out of duty. We're to obey as a child would want to obey their loving father, their loving mother, their mother who cares for them, who says, go and do this, and they do it out of love, not out of duty. And so I thought of just some examples as we, in terms of obedience to Jesus, we are called to be obedient. That is a part of holiness. It's Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. That's part of being obedient to Jesus. In Ephesians 5, we read, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. It's part of obedience. Honor your father and mother. Part of the Ten Commandments. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Particularly pertinent to our country. And then the chief of commandments in terms of being obedient to Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And so as we evaluate our lives, we fall significantly short of that. But to be obedient to Jesus is to set our goal to do that, and throughout our lives to be incrementally increasing in obedience. But secondly, to be devoted to Jesus is critical if we are to be holy. Often we want to be, if we think if we're obedient, if we've got the right doctrine, if we're good people, we're right with God. But that's falling horribly short. There are going to be some very good people who miss the mark one day, who are not holy. To be holy is to be devoted, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be given to Jesus. To be devoted to Jesus means more than simply obedient. And so often when, as I was growing up, when somebody said holy, it sounds like a dry and dull thing. But holiness should be a beautiful thing. It should be devotion, abiding in Jesus. And so we need to be moving from just trying to be good Christians, goody two-shoes, to being deeply intimate, deeply devoted to Jesus. It is not to be dry or lifeless or dull. It is to live the life that we were created for, such that when we get to heaven, we will not feel like strangers. That we'll even have had a taste of holiness that will be fulfilled ultimately there. And it's interesting, when we look at Psalm 15, it's David who wrote it. And he was saying, we need to be holy. And David was not a boring, dull color person. He was a colorful person, passionate. He would dance before the Lord, sing before the Lord, encourage other people, give sacrificially. His holiness was not dry and dusty. It's to be set apart, to be devoted to Jesus, to give Him our whole selves, give Him our time, our attention, to be increasingly giving ourselves to Jesus, abiding in Him. To be holy isn't just to be good. It's to be abiding in Jesus moment by moment, set apart for Him hour by hour, day by day, continually coming back, giving ourselves to Jesus. Again, quoting from Charles Spurgeon, he says, holiness excludes immorality. Holiness must exclude immorality. But morality does not amount to holiness. For morality may be the cleaning of the outside of the cup and the platter, while the heart may be full of wickedness. Holiness deals with the thoughts, the intents, the purposes, the aims, the objects, the motives of men. Morality does but skim the surface. Holiness goes into the very caverns of the deep. Holiness requires that the heart shall be set on God and shall beat with love for Him. Holiness waits and pants with heavenly aspirations. That's what it's to be holy. Christ has called us to an abundant life. And we hear that term, it's such a popular term today. Christ has called you to an abundant life. But it's not so much an abundant life as much as it's an abundant life in Him. Finding our fullness in Him. Augustine, another writer of old, said, O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And when our hearts find rest in Christ, that's when we approach holiness. Without holiness, we'll not only feel out of place in heaven, we won't belong there. Holiness means a willing, loving obedience and a deep, heartfelt devotion to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. And it's to characterize every part of our lives. And so we're called to pursue holiness. How do you pursue holiness? And the chief thing is that you can't pursue holiness. You can no more make yourself holy than you can create a world. You can no more make yourself holy than change the world. So often we want three easy steps, and as pastors we try and give three easy steps. If you do this, this, and this, then you'll be holy. This is a lifelong joy, a lifelong challenge, a lifelong pursuit that will end one day when we're with Jesus. And it's to continually... I was in the engineering industry for a long time, and often when they were implementing things, there was the philosophy of continual improvement. Do this thing, do another thing, do another thing. Come back and start again, do it again, do it again. Increasingly improve. And so, how do we pursue holiness? We need to continually come to Jesus. There needs to be that first time that we come to Jesus and surrender. But then we need to come to Him daily. Without God's help, we can never become holy. Jerry Bridges has written a book, The Pursuit of Holiness. And he gives this picture that a farmer goes out and plants a field. He plows the ground. He puts the seed in. He does all this hard work, but he cannot make that seed germinate. He relies on a miracle. And so obedience and devotion go together. The Holy Spirit cannot germinate holiness in our lives without a suitable environment. And that's an environment of setting ourselves apart and being obedient. That is the plowing up of our ground. It's the weeding. It's the chasing away the birds that want to take away the seed. And a farmer is powerless without God, as we are powerless without God. The farmer can only provide a suitable environment, and that's what we're called to do, to yield to the Spirit, provide that environment that He can make us holy. Even the desire for holiness, we would never have that. That is a gift from God. And we're to pray, Lord, make me holy. I pray for it every single day. A person who is not saved cannot pursue holiness, at least not successfully. They might try and be good people, but that's only one aspect of holiness. And so it's useful in your thinking. Some people say, I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. Even if they were 100% good, that would not be enough. You need to be holy. You need to be entirely good, 100% good, and 100% devoted to Jesus. So we need to come to Jesus as we pursue holiness. The second thing is to confess to Jesus. C.S. Lewis puts things in a raw form. And he says we should confess each sin by its ugly name and thank God for his forgiveness through the blood of his Son. Confess it by its ugly name. Don't desensitize yourself. It is possible for us to give up the big sins and then to rationalize and justify the continuance of small sins in our lives. I met just, in my counseling, I've met someone who had moved out of a totally immoral, sinful life, and then had rationalized that it's okay if they do pornography and if they engulf their life in pornography, because that's a much lesser sin. But the level of the battle that we must be taking it to, if that's our struggle, is sexual sin, the battle that we must be fighting is with our thought lives and our private thoughts and even our dreams. That even when we're not conscious of what we're thinking, that those, that's how we evaluate, are we on the pursuit of holiness? We must reduce the level, move on to higher levels. Don't settle on these lower levels and desensitize ourselves. So we're to come to Jesus continually, every day. Confess to Jesus and then turn from unholiness. I remember I have a cousin who's my age. One hot summer's day, my parents put the sprinkler on and I was playing there. I was covered in mud, playing in the sprinkler, the mud underneath it. And then my little cousin walks out. She's a girl, pretty little thing, when we were little. And I thought, what an opportunity. So I grabbed her and I pulled her under the sprinkler and pushed her in the mud. You know, as a loving cousin would do. She ran off crying and her mom helped her bath and get changed into clean clothes. I don't know. I've seen the photos of all these events. So I don't know how our parents put up with it. I pulled her in again and dunked her in the mud and she cried, ran back. Her mom washed her, put new clothes on, brought her back home. I did this a few times. I don't know how I didn't get a hiding, but it must have been hilarious to watch. Anyway, eventually she'd run out of clothes, and I dunked her for the last time. And she actually found out that she enjoyed it, and she joined me. And the last picture in that series of photos is her sitting in the mud, absolutely enjoying it. And that's how we are with sin sometimes, that we see this filth, but we continue looking at it. And it repulses us initially, and we run, you know, but we tempt it. But ultimately, if we do not turn from unholiness, we'll start enjoying it. Sit there in the filth. Become desensitized. And so, Spurgeon, again quoting from him, he says, "You know nothing of true holiness if you look forward to any future indulgence of sensual appetites with a certain degree of delightful anticipation." If you look forward to anything that may be sinful, be careful, because you know nothing of holiness. You have great cause for questioning unless your holiness is uniform. He puts it in these beautiful words. He says, "I mean, if your life is angelic abroad, in other words, outside the home, but devilish at home, you must suspect that it is at home that you are what you really are. That man is not right with God, who would not do the same in the dark that he would do in the light." Are you holy in the own thoughts, in the recesses where no one else can look? To confess our sins without turning from them is not true confession. It's mocking God. And then we're called to grow in holiness. We must correct and mold and train our moral character. Creating that environment in which the Holy Spirit can cause germination, growth, the beauty of holiness. Have you ever thought that the angels, they don't sing moral, moral, moral is the Lord God Almighty. They sing holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Something entirely different, entirely more beautiful. God's glory, which we do everything for, is the shining forth of his holiness. It's the splendor which would captivate us for all eternity. And if it doesn't captivate you for 5 minutes in a worship service here, don't expect heaven. We're not to be like the rest of the world, content to live our lives with a superficial understanding of God. We must grow dissatisfied with sinful habits, with spiritual milk and hunger after greater things. And the beautiful thing is that if we have come to Christ, we were saved. If we are on the pursuit of holiness, we are being saved. And one day that will be completed when we are ultimately saved. And the whole of the Trinity is involved in this work. Paul prays as he was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." In Ephesians 5 we read, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, that he might make her holy. Not only obedient and good people, but devoted to him, loving him as their God." Read in Hebrews 13, "Jesus suffered in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we read, "God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So there's this beautiful thing is that in order to create an environment that's suitable, we must spend much time in the Word. In John 17, Jesus, as he was praying, even for us today, he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." This is how we create an environment. Yes, by being obedient, but by being obedient in reflecting on God's revelation to us, his instruction manual. What is your responsibility in holiness? Romans chapter 6, "Present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." In other words, present your members, those parts of your bodies, your hands. What do you do with your hands? Are you presenting them to God? Your eyes, your ears, what you hear, your feet, where you go, your mind, what you think about. Present those things to God in righteousness, in obedience. And that's the pathway to holiness, sanctification. And this is not to be, we will fall from time to time. We will make mistakes. But the distance between those mistakes must increasingly grow. The person who is growing in holiness will fall, but they never quit. And so we're to come to Jesus. We're to confess to Jesus. We're to turn from unholiness, to grow in holiness, and then to abide in Jesus. Moment by moment. Day by day, hour by hour, week by week. And so it's to move from this life of hectic busyness, just trying to take out, even in the busyness, worshipping Christ. To simply be obedient is not enough. It's dry legalism. I think that's why the church often looks boring to people. It's a whole lot of people just trying to be good. They don't see the devotion, the joy, the love. Too often we are striving to be goody two-shoes and mistake obedience for holiness. But it's as we are deeply devoted to Jesus, abiding in him, joyful, that I think people will see the beauty of God's glory. Hymn writer wrote, "Take time to be holy." Make time. There's time for everything else. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him you will be. Your friends and your conduct, his likeness will see. And so in closing, are you pursuing holiness? Are you seeking to grow, to yield, to create that environment where the Holy Spirit can work? Are you living a life of obedience? And even more importantly this evening, are you moving beyond obedience to devotion? Loving Jesus, abiding in Jesus. So I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, we don't want to have a dry religion. All the world is pursuing religions that save you by works. And Lord, yes, you have called us to be obedient, to give up the parts of our body to righteousness, to weed out those things that we see that would rob us of holiness, to not listen to those things which would lead us astray. to use our hands and our feet as to where we go and what we do, Lord, for holiness. Lord, won't you help us to move beyond the drudgery? Lord, to have a deep, vital, living connection with you. Lord, that deep would call out to deep. That as we go deep with you, we would experience you deeply and be satisfied. And not be perpetually dwelling on the spiritual milk, the weak things. And then, Lord, I pray particularly for those this evening who, what I've been talking about sounds crazy. Why would anyone want to be holy? What's got to do with our life today? They've no passion for holiness, no pursuit of holiness. Lord, only you can awaken that. Won't you shine your light into hearts that are maybe searching? You have awakened, but Lord, they are some way off. Won't you continue that work and bring it to completion, that they will know that which they were created for and which they will ultimately experience in fullness in heaven. With you, Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, when we commune with you richly and would even be satisfied to just stand in awe of your holiness for the rest of eternity. And so, Lord, humble us. We confess we are sinners. We need you every hour. Won't you be our portion, our delights, our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.